Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next few minutes, we're going to get some political advice for President Trump from a regular guest, Pastor Hans Feeney. He is not, nor am I, a trained psychologist or psychiatrist, but he's come up with a term, a category perhaps, that might be applicable to the president when it comes to, well, his political future. Some people are not worried about President Trump's political future in the least. It's worked so far, is kind of the philosophy. But we'll see what Pastor Hans Feeney has to say. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's a senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column titled, For a Successful Legacy, President Trump Needs to Move Past His Rocky Balboa Persona. Hans, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Man, thanks for having me.
This term that you have coined, Rocky Balboa Syndrome, what is it?
Yeah, or it's what I call return to Rocky disorder. So I am not qualified to diagnose legitimate mental health issues, but I am qualified to diagnose ones that I have made up. And one of the ones I've made up is what I call return to Rocky disorder, which is basically the idea that it's what happens when someone feels compelled to return to a pattern of behavior, or to a way of acting, a kind of persona, that when they feel compelled to return to it, lest they lose it, even though it's really not possible for them to lose it. So it's kind of the idea that whatever persona you have that people see as the most successful, it's the feeling the need to keep going back to that formula, even when doing so doesn't really have anything more to offer you.
So the picture there is of the moment in one of the Rocky pictures where Sylvester Stallone as Rocky utters this famous line that you say forever cemented him in that character. From that point on, he could go on and do anything he wanted to. He was always and forever going to be Rocky Balboa.
Right, yeah. So in the moment in Rocky II, when he shouts out, "Yo, Adrian, I did it," right? That's the iconic Rocky line. It's so iconic that as I was getting ready to write the article, I thought it was from the first Rocky. And he doesn't quite say it in the first one, but says it as clearly as Sylvester Stallone says anything at the end of the second one. And that was just the moment when you just sort of go, all right, that's the line, that's the moment when Sylvester Stallone and Rocky Balboa just became the same person. And nothing ever mattered at that point with regard to what kinds of roles Sylvester Stallone played. He was always going to be Rocky. So even though he made a bunch of other Rocky movies, he didn't need to fight Mr. T in Rocky III, or didn't need to end the Cold War in Rocky IV, or do whatever he did in Rocky V and VI, which I don't know because I don't think I ever saw those ones. And all of that, he didn't need to go back to the part anymore. He was always going to be Rocky. When Sylvester Stallone walks down the street, despite the fact that he's played a bunch of other characters, no one wants to get a picture with the guy from Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. No one shouts out, "Yo, Rambo," at him. It's always Rocky. If you ever see pictures of the guy with people, you know, wanting to take pictures with him, they're always doing, you know, the fist up kind of, you know, boxer to the chin, boxing fist to the chin type of thing. He's always going to be Rocky. And so that would, if he'd wanted to go play Hamlet or King Lear or whatever roles it is that he'd wanted to play, he was free to do that and didn't have to go back to Rocky to kind of rebuild his credibility as Rocky. He didn't become less Rocky by playing 1,000 non-Rocky parts. And that's kind of my assertion about President Trump, is that the moment that he stood up there in that second presidential debate, and when Hillary Clinton said, "Well, it's a good thing, you know, that people like you aren't in charge of the laws in this country," and he said, "Because you'd be in jail," that was his moment. That was his Rocky moment, the moment when he forever cemented his status as the guy who would throw punches that other Republicans wouldn't throw, the guy nobody gave a shot to who had knocked out the champ, and that, you know, that legacy obviously became sealed when he won the White House. But that was the moment, and that moment's always going to be there, and the people who respond well to that, that's how they're always going to see him, and he doesn't need to go back to that role in order to keep his credibility, is that he doesn't need to pick Twitter fights with LeBron James or with various figures in the media. He has forever and eternally cemented his status as Captain Counterpunch, and he doesn't need to do it. He doesn't need to engage in that same kind of behavior to get back to that and to reclaim that persona.
Why does he, do you think? Again, we're not trained psychologists, but why does he on a daily basis return to that persona, not necessarily against Hillary Clinton, but whoever happens to be within arm's length?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably a combination of a few things. I think he seems convinced that this works. And to a certain extent, he's certainly right in that, you know, is that people will often say when he's tweeting that he's just simply creating a diversion. You know, so if there's a bad news cycle, if people are reporting stuff about the Mueller investigation, if there's other bad news about him going on, he'll just lash out at someone on the internet or lash out at some figure in the media usually. And he figures that the media will in turn just immediately start covering that and act all wounded and hurt and disproportionately respond to things and act as though this is, you know, some great threat to the security of the world and make themselves look stupid, and then he'll win. He'll sort of knock down the champ again, even though he's sort of the reigning champ at this point. And I think there's a certain amount of truth to that. It does work. The media always sort of plays into his hands, and so he's able to accomplish that effectively. But I think there's probably also, too, something to the effect of this just seems to be what he likes doing. This is the part he likes playing. He's, you know, there's a video clip I have linked in the article where he very clearly states that you would all be bored if I acted presidential. So the idea of being diplomatic and thoughtful and changing the way he acts and behaves just sounds incredibly boring to him, and he doesn't want to do it. He just kind of wants to play the hits and wants to go back to the character that got him into the White House, the character that that kind of rallies his base whenever he's feeling sort of politically vulnerable, or however you want to put it. And so I think it's just a combination of it works, and he's more comfortable doing that.
I've often wondered whether he wants to keep doing this job into another term, because he doesn't seem to appear to like doing the job as much as having the position and the kind of immediate notoriety that it affords him 24/7. Who wouldn't?
Right.
Okay, so who in that position would not want everyone talking about them all the time, which is what happens. But given what you're saying here, I wonder then, that very quickly becomes addictive. That very quickly becomes, if he serves out two terms, what do you do after that? Because there will be another guy sitting in the office that everyone will be talking about all the time.
Right. Yeah, I think that's sort of a challenge for how we handle this as kind of a form of discourse, is that, you know, does it just sort of change the way that that politics itself works? Is that if the office becomes about you picking fights all the time, will things return to normal once you're done? Or does that just kind of become the new normal? Is that the new standard for how things work? And, does it sort of get worse as it goes along? Kind of like the series of Rocky movies, where you just sort of run out of ideas and they're not quite as great going forward. I don't know the answer to that.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're hearing some of his political advice for President Trump. He's authored a piece at The Federalist titled, "For a Successful Legacy, President Trump Needs to Move Past His Rocky Balboa Persona." We'll be right back.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADC, RUCEM.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting some political advice for President Trump from Pastor Hans Feeney. I've often, in the last 20 years of doing this program, heard from listeners. They will email. They will sometimes leave messages on the Issues Etc. comment line. They will ask a question like, how can I find a faithful church? And when I go to a church on Sunday morning, how do I know it's really a faithful Lutheran congregation? There's a very simple first question, not the only question, but first question that you ought to ask if you're wondering about that. You walk into the church, and one of the first things you can ask is, does this church use Luther's small catechism to educate the young? And the old as well, but mostly the young. If the answer to that question is, well, no, we used to, but we don't anymore, you can walk right out the door because that church is not interested in being Lutheran. It's that simple. It's one of the basic things that makes for a faithful Lutheran congregation is the regular and faithful use of Luther's small catechism to educate the young and to educate the old as well. That's why we're proud to have as our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism. This one is the catechism with its explanations. It's a new edition, and it's the visual edition. It has illustrations, and it's nicely organized for using it to teach the young and the old. Find out more about Luther's Small Catechism visual edition at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They'd be happy to send you one. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Feeney, I'm curious here when it comes to this, return to Rocky syndrome. You speak in terms of the president's legacy. What do you mean by that?
Well, basically just his ability to accomplish what it is that he wants to accomplish and to get reelected. So if he wants to accomplish the various policies he's proposed, it will certainly help to have a Republican Congress and Senate, and it will also help him if he holds on to the Oval Office for more than 4 years, which I believe will be tough to do if he continues to behave in a way that has already sort of garnered him, that where he's already mined as much support from the base as he's going to get and is not terribly appealing to those whose support he needs to continue to maintain.
So you have recently kind of used an analogy, because I think you have admitted to the fact that you didn't believe that Trump could pull off a win in the 2016 elections. And you admitted that you were wrong in that, obviously. Everyone who had that idea were wrong. But you liken it to someone driving down the highway at 125 miles an hour with their eyes closed and just by sheer luck making it home safe. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, so it's the idea that if you're talking to your friend and your friend says, I bet I can drive 120 miles down the interstate with my eyes closed and get to my destination just fine. And you say, oh, I bet you can. I bet that's a really dumb idea. And then against all odds, he manages to do it. And then he looks at you and then insists that this is the most effective way to travel. And so, you know, and so you're kind of going, well, look, just because it worked doesn't mean it was necessarily a good idea. And in particular, if you were driving at a time of day when everyone else was incapable of getting on the interstate, then it might have worked. But you can't always presume that everyone else is going to be incapable of getting on the interstate. So sure, Trump's kind of bombastic approach worked, but it worked against Hillary Clinton, who was one of the least electable candidates offered up for the presidency in quite some time. So it's not a strategy that I think would have been nearly as effective against someone like Joe Biden, against someone who was less reviled by a huge chunk of Americans. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Democrats are guaranteed, I suppose, to nominate someone in 2020 who is more likable. In sort of an odd way, it seems to me that a lot of liberals are convinced that because Donald Trump is kind of such an odious person, that they can therefore sort of take this as their opportunity to run the most progressive of progressive candidates, and the most kind of especially in the primaries, they'll be drawn to the most sort of viciously anti-Trump candidate, and that could very well have the effect of causing them to nominate someone who's actually more unlikable than the president yet again. So that I don't think is so much though a result of Trump's political genius as much as it is just the political stupidity of the other side. But the point is that just because that strategy worked once doesn't mean it's actually a good strategy. And it certainly isn't a guarantee that it's going to work in the future. And if you're going to need the votes of people who are turned off by that kind of behavior, it's best to drop that type of behavior, especially when dropping it isn't going to lose the support of the people who want to see you that way. The people who like President Trump acting like President Rocky are always going to see him that way. He doesn't need to continue acting that way in order to keep winning their votes.
And you say, with only about 30 seconds here, you say he doesn't even really have to renounce the old role. He just has to play the diplomat.
Right, yeah. So I think for those who are sympathetic towards the president's policies, all they want, I think, in the end is for him to change his outward behavior enough so that it's not embarrassing for them to want to vote for him, to pull the lever for him, or to talk to their friends about how it is they plan on voting for him. If he can do enough to make it seem like he's turned over a new leaf, he doesn't actually have to turn over a new leaf. He doesn't really need to convince anyone. He just kind of needs to go through the motions. So, yeah, he just needs to do kind of the Donald Trump version of Sylvester Stallone trying to play a real, you know, sort of serious, deep character like Hamlet. Doesn't have to be great at it. He just has to give it a shot long enough to save people the embarrassment of him going back to playing President Rocky.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's a senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column titled, For a Successful Legacy, President Trump Needs to Move Past His Rocky Balboa Persona. You can read it at issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hans, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Terry Mattingly is with us on the other side of the break. It is a big story. It started locally at the Chicago Tribune, and then over the weekend it moved to the paper of record, to the New York Times. Stories of sexual misconduct and allegations thereof against Willow Creek founder Bill Hybels. We'll do an assessment of that media coverage with Terry Mattingly after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.
I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments. The free online Issues Etc. journal.